And I invite you to open your pew Bibles up to John chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and then we will flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. If you'd like to follow along, you can follow along in your pew Bible or on the cover of your bulletin. Both passages are printed there for your convenience as well. Jesus and his disciples have just had a very brief conversation, as we saw last week, about why this man that they've seen on the side of the road was born blind. And Jesus said it wasn't because of his sin or his parents' sin, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then he finished by saying, "I am the light of the world." And with those words, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Turning now to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. Well, this morning we are continuing our spring sermon series called Now I See. Over the course of the season of Easter, which runs from Easter Sunday all the way through Pentecost Sunday, we're exploring the richness of this story of the man born blind that we find in John 9. Last week, we saw that in Jesus' answer to the disciples' question about why the man was born blind, we were asked 3 questions in return. Over the weeks to come, we will see the power of a changed life, the importance of the Sabbath. We'll talk about some family matters, how to defend your faith, and finally, what it really means to believe and see. Our passage this morning is the shortest of the series. Honestly, I think it's the shortest passage of Scripture I've ever preached on. It's just 2 verses. If you're thinking that means we're getting out of here early, you haven't been here very long. I'm just kidding, I hope. It is a scant 2 verses, and yet it's probably the part of this story that captures our imagination and attention more than anything else in this entire chapter. John relays the miracle to us, frankly, in the simplest possible fashion. And I think that's because he's eager to get to all that happens after the healing, the bulk of the chapter. But since the healing is what captures our attention, we're going to take a closer look at it. And as we do, we will see that whether we find ourselves healed like the blind man or not, we can trust that God's works will be revealed regardless. Well, I don't know if you heard last month, a new movie about Mary Magdalene was released. The movie stars Rooney Mara as Mary and Joaquin Phoenix as Jesus. If that seems like an odd choice to you, so also to me. But nevertheless, there was one thing that Joaquin Phoenix refused to do that Jesus did in the Gospels. That was the only thing he said he absolutely would not do. And that was to make some mud out of his spit and some dirt and rub it on somebody else's face. He said, when asked about this, "I knew about that scene from the Bible, but I guess I'd never really considered it. When I got there, I thought, I'm not going to rub dirt in her eyes. Who the heck would do that?" He didn't say heck. Just saying. It doesn't make any sense. That is a horrible introduction to seeing. Now, I bring this quote to you because I'm actually willing to bet that most of us are probably more similar to Joaquin than we might like to admit. We're so familiar with this story that we've never actually taken the time to consider what's really happening in it. And when you do stop to consider it, well, frankly, things get really bizarre really fast. And that's one of the key reasons why this story captures our attention so well. The fact is that there is a really high gross factor in what's going on here. Jesus spits on the ground, makes some mud, and smears it on the guy's eyes. And then he tells him to go wash in a pool that is actually some fair distance away. It's not like it was right across the courtyard. Now, there are actually two other instances in the Gospels when Jesus uses spit in the course of a healing miracle. And honestly, they're not that much better than this one. Here's a question. Just how much spit does it take to make enough mud to cover someone's eyes? It's just gross. Here's something else that's weird. Jesus doesn't talk to the blind man at all until after he's put mud on his eyes. Now, Jesus doesn't always talk to the person in question, but most of the time he does. He usually begins with some kind of a question, something like, do you want to be healed? Or what do you want me to do for you? Or would you like me to forgive your sins? There's some kind of exchange of interaction. And frankly, if Jesus had come today in this day and age and performed this miracle, frankly, the blind man would probably turn around and sue him for violating his personal space and his rights, let alone taking away his source of income. But as I looked at these two verses over the course of the past couple of weeks, something else began to jump out at me. What captures our attention the most in this story is, frankly, the least important part of the story for the man telling it, for the Apostle John. In fact, John's emphasis is much more on the washing than it is on the mud itself. And I say this based on a couple of things. First, as alluded to a moment ago, the only words Jesus speaks to the blind man are to send him to wash his face in the pool of Siloam. Secondly, John goes to the effort to specifically make sure that we know that the word Siloam means sent. Now, if a biblical author is going to take the time and effort to tell you what a word means, then it's probably because that word is very important to the story. How is this important? Well, it all connects back to what Jesus said just before the miracle. Again, Jesus said, "This happened, the man was born blind, so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." You see, Jesus was sent by God the Father to be the light of the world. In like manner, the blind man was sent by Jesus to go wash his face and receive his sight, to be able to see light. See, John is much more interested in the meaning of the healing rather than the method of it. And that's exactly what Joaquin Phoenix missed about this miracle. By refusing to put muddy spit on someone's eyes, he said that it freed me up in some ways to discover what is truthful in the moment. That it is not so much about a real miracle. It's about someone who's been dismissed by society, finally being seen, embraced, and encouraged to join the broader community. To me, that is the real miracle. There's something profoundly beautiful about that sentiment. Doesn't that sound just great? It's complete hogwash. I mean, now, let's be fair. One doesn't turn to Joaquin Phoenix to find a skilled theologian and an excellent discourse on the meaning of Scripture. But this kind of humanistic interpretation of this miracle actually is surprisingly common these days. And doing that kind of interpretation on this passage completely misses the point about what's going on. It actually completely ignores the rest of the story, as we'll see over the coming weeks. But it misses what Jesus is trying to do with the blind man and what John is trying to teach us with this story. The truth of this moment is about a real miracle designed to show everyone the truth that Jesus is the light of the world, sent to display God's works in this man's life and in everyone else's as well. So how does the healing of the blind man display God's works? Well, it does so in several ways. The first thing we see is that in the healing of the blind man, we find that sometimes healing comes in unexpected ways. Can you imagine the shock on the blind man's face and what he must have felt to suddenly have cold, wet mud spread on his face? All that he has heard so far is a somewhat theological discussion amongst the disciples and Jesus about why he was born blind. I imagine in that moment, he must have felt some measure of frustration. Oh, great. Here's some more people talking about me rather than to me. Oh, here's some people who want to figure out what I did wrong rather than try to help me out. Great. Thanks. I suppose he might have heard Jesus' hands sliding in the dirt, and maybe he heard Jesus spit, but I doubt that he had any idea what was about to happen. I don't know what kind of healing it is that you're looking for from God. Maybe there's a physical ailment that you're struggling with. Or maybe you recently found out and got a bad diagnosis. Maybe there's an emotional or mental burden you've been struggling with. Maybe there's something spiritual that you've been carrying for a long time. I wonder if you're kind of like me. When you ask God to heal you, you also tend to outline exactly how you would like that healing to happen. All right, God, I'm sick. And so here's how you should heal me, which seems kind of strange to me, right? That's kind of like, I don't know, when we go to the doctor and the doctor gives us a diagnosis and we turn around and say, all right, doc, here's the treatment plan you should use for me. Like we know better than the guy who went to medical school. That's the doc. I mean, I've tried that with my doctor before. They're like, okay, are you done? Now what we're really going to do is this, right? The blind man wasn't expecting mud to be spread on his eyes, and we should trust that God's method of healing for us, will probably be unexpected as well. I also know that where Jesus healed the blind man's literal blindness, we are all gathered here today because he has healed our spiritual blindness. And I'm willing to bet that spiritual healing came about in a way that you weren't expecting. As those beautiful lines in Amazing Grace go, I once was blind, but now I see. You see, the literal healing is meant to prove the veracity of the deeper spiritual healing that all of us are in need of from our Savior. The second thing that we see is that in the healing of the blind man, not only does healing come in unexpected ways, but Jesus rarely heals the same way twice. Now, I'll admit that I have not done an extensive and detailed study of all of the different ways that Jesus healed, but frankly, I can't remember Jesus ever healing two people the exact same way. Now, he might use similar methods, but the details are always different. Take using spit, for example. I mentioned earlier, he does that two other times in the Gospels. In Mark 7, Jesus sticks his fingers in a deaf man's ears and then spits on his fingers and touches his tongue because the man was deaf and mute. In Mark 8, Jesus spits directly onto a blind man's eyes. And then, of course, in our story today, he spits on the ground, makes some mud. I told you they weren't better. It's just weird. And, of course, we find in the other healing miracles that sometimes Jesus touches the person directly. Sometimes he isn't even in the same town. Sometimes Jesus initiates. Sometimes the other person tries to touch Jesus without his knowing. Sometimes Jesus forgives sins first, sometimes second, sometimes not at all. It's the healing is always different. I think we often hear stories about God healing other people, and often we pray that God would heal us the same way. Lord, you healed Susie. Would you do the same thing for me that you did for her? Because, wow, that's awesome. We heard a great story of Lauren Daigle and her healing. It's like, Lord, would you heal me the same way? But we aren't them. And God knows what we need. And he knows that what God needs to do in us isn't the same as what he did in other people. We think about how God healed or delivered us in the past, and we ask him to do that same work again in our lives. But again, we aren't who we used to be. And the healing that we need now is not what we needed back then. Just as we ought to expect the unexpected when God heals us, so also should we expect God to be unique and creative in how he goes about his healing work with us, with all of us. And that leads us to the third thing that we see in the healing of the blind man. Not only does healing come in unexpected ways and rarely the same way twice, but whether we are physically healed or not, we are always invited to trust. In spite of the unexpected nature of the healing, mud suddenly plastered on his eyes, the man immediately and unhesitatingly follows Jesus' instructions. Jesus said, go and wash. So the man went and washed. I don't know how or why he knew that he could trust what Jesus said, but he did. And his trust in the light of the world was rewarded, and he came home seeing. But God doesn't always choose to heal. Sometimes we ask God for healing, and he says no. Take, for example, the Apostle Paul. In our reading from 2 Corinthians 12, he writes, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power might rest on me. We don't know the specific nature of this thorn in the flesh that Paul suffered from, but the best guess over the centuries since Paul wrote this letter is that it's been some kind of physical malady. And despite his repeated requests, pleading, he says, with God to take it away, God never chose to heal him. Why? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I don't know what kind of healing you are yearning for, but I do know that God is inviting you to trust him more deeply and thoroughly, whether he heals you or not. And you might say, but Pastor David, if you only knew what I'm suffering with, if you only knew the kind of pain that I'm in and day out, how can I possibly go on like this? How much weaker do I have to get? Why? Why would God do this to me? And I only have one answer for you. I don't know. I just don't know. I wish that I did, but I don't. What I do know is that I can pray with you. And the elders of this church can pray with you. And I can tell you that we will be with you in the midst of it. And I can promise you that the act of continuing to pray, especially in the midst of not understanding, is an act of trust itself that will then lead to more and deeper trust. And I can promise you, whether you feel it at the moment or not, that Jesus is present with you in that suffering, and that God's grace is sufficient for you. And God's power will be made perfect through our weaknesses. And that leads us to the fourth thing we see in the healing of the blind man. We saw that sometimes healing comes in unexpected ways, that rarely does Jesus heal the same way twice, and that whether we're healed or not, we are always invited to trust Jesus more deeply. Finally, we see that just as the blind man was sent, so also are we. Jesus was sent to perform the works of God. The blind man was sent so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And we are sent to bear witness to the works of God in our lives as well. We're going to talk a lot more about what the sending looks like next week. But until then, I want to encourage you to take intentional time this week to reflect on just how Jesus has come unexpectedly into your life and healed you of your blindness. How he has sent you out, just like the blind man, to wash and be cleaned, and has brought you home seeing as well. As we talked about earlier, if this story is one with which you're quite familiar, I hope you don't miss how weird this story really is. If you're hearing this story for the first time, I hope that the oddness of it doesn't keep you from the depth of what's happening here, as it did for Joaquin Phoenix. The healing of the blind man is an incredible and important example of the work of God being displayed. And it's my prayer that over the course of the next weeks and months to come, we would see that God's healing sometimes comes in unexpected ways, is rarely done the same way twice, always invites us to trust more deeply, and also sends us out to bear witness to the works of God in our lives. Brothers and sisters, may God bless each one of us as we continue to trust that God's works will be revealed, regardless of whether we find ourselves healed like the blind man or not. Amen.